me levelly.
That was low.
I thought it was rather brilliant, actually. Besides, you said you wouldn't touch me. I can see your word does not mean much to you. I throw at him the same words he used on me.
And you said if we brought your blasted luggage on board, you wouldn't put up a fight.
I didn't put up a fight. I got out of my cage fight free.
Lass, let me out of this cage.
I think you're more suited for it than I am. He bangs a fist against one of the bars.
Let me out. You know you won't get far. All I have to do is yell, and over half the crew will be upon you.
And I can't wait to see the looks on their faces when they find their first mate trapped in the brig.
Hello, sir,
he says, a hint of warning in his voice. Answer something for me, and I will spare you the embarrassment of your crew finding you. What? He's clearly agitated. I suppose I would be too if I had been duped by a pretty face. When we first met, and I was bargaining for the lives of my crew, you whispered something to the captain. Something that made him stop killing my men. What was it? Ryden appears perplexed, but he answers.
I told him that if he wished to keep the support of his crew, he would be wise to stop encouraging you to kill them off.
Did you care for them? The men who I killed?
No.
Perhaps I was wrong about how much he cares for the members of this crew. Then why bother?
I answered your question. Now let me out.
I sigh. Fine. Though I wonder why he doesn't want to talk about it. Perhaps I've hit on something there. If it wasn't to do with the men I killed, then wouldn't it have to do with his brother? The cage sings as it unlocks, and I hand the key to Ryden. You and the captain are brothers.
I'm aware of that.
What exactly happened to your father? Ryden locks me in soundly. Then he pockets the key without taking his eyes off of it. He turns to leave.
I killed him.
Chapter 4. The floor is disgusting, but somehow I manage to sleep. When I wake, a face is inches from my head. I shriek and roll away. Even though I realize now that he's on the other side of my cell, my heart still races.
No need for that, the pirate says. Just needed a lock of your hair is all.
My hand flies to my head. Indeed, several strands have been cut. What are you doing? I'll kill you for that.
It's best to leave the lass alone, Enwin,
another man says. It's Karen.
Has a thing about people touching her.
It needed to be done,
Enwin says.
I tell you, red hair's good luck. Keeps you from getting diseased and all.
I recognize now that Enwin is the tall man who helped carry my things down yesterday.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard,
Karen says.
I hope you get sick tomorrow. You need to set your head right.
You just wait. Next time a plague hits, I'll be stroking this hair while you all be coughing and dying and such.
I need a drink.
Nah, Karen, it's too early for that.
If I'm to survive the day, I'll need to start early.
He pulls out his flask from one of his pockets. What is this? I ask as I stand and stretch out my neck. I can feel a couple of cricks in it. And I smell worse than I did yesterday. Blasted floor.
We're your guards, Miss Alosa,
Enwin says.
First mate says it's wise to have someone watching over you at all times.
Aye, aye, Karen. And I take it that neither of you volunteered.
That's a truth of it,
Karen says.
Oh, I was happy to do it, Enwin says. Ever since I saw you yesterday, I've been wanting to get my hands on that hair of yours. Very rare it is.
I can assure you it has no magical properties, I say, angrily fiddling with the patch of hair that is now shorter than the others.
Not magical, Enwin says.
Just good luck.
I get sick as often as any other person.
What?
You said red hair wards off disease. I've got a whole head of it, yet I get sick.
Oh. Enwin looks troubled for a moment. He hunches over my lock of hair, staring at it.
Well, I suppose it doesn't work on you, because it's your own hair. It's got to be taken from someone else for the luck to work.
So if I steal it back from you, will it work for me? I say sarcastically. Kieran laughs, choking on the rum in his mouth. A few drops fall to the floor as he coughs. He sighs.
Bloody waste, that.
I sit on my chair, all too aware of the grime and slime that coat everything in the cell, including me. I need to change, and I need some water to clean myself off. I'm about to ask for the latter when I hear someone coming over. It's Raiden, of course. He carries with him a tray of food and a dangerous smile. At the sight, I feel my stomach growl. I'm fairly certain that's a response to the food and not the smile.
Enwin, Kieran, you're relieved while I question the prisoner, but you will return to this post once I'm done.
Aye, Master Raiden, Enwin says.
Kieran nods, looking bored. The two leave.
Hungry?
Raiden asks. Starving.
Good. I managed to swipe you some eggs.
Raiden unlocks the cell and puts the tray on my table, keeping a close eye on my legs. I'm certain that's because he's wary of me kicking, and not because he simply wants to stir. He shuts me back in, standing safely on the other side of the bars. I start eating at once, cracking the boiled eggs and adding a bit of salt before chewing. I wash each one down with some water from the cup on the tray. Raiden seems to be in high spirits once again. It appears that there are no hard feelings for last night. So, what's it to be today? I ask. More talk of my father?
Yes.
Hoping I'll unintentionally reveal where the keep is? You're wasting your breath.
What you unintentionally reveal is up to you. What I wish to discuss is your father's reputation.
Whatever you've heard, it's probably all true.
Nevertheless, let's discuss it anyway.
I want some water, I say, wiping a spot of dirt on my arm.
I'll refill your glass when we're done.
No, I want a bucket for washing, and a rag, and soap.
Don't you think that's asking a bit much for a prisoner?
And, I say, practically singing the word, I want a new one of each every week. He scoffs at first, then he thinks it over.
We'll see how our conversation goes today. If I like what I hear, I'll make the proper arrangements.
I cross my legs and lean back in the chair. Fine. Let's talk. Raiden pulls a chair out and sits. He's wearing a hat today, a tricorn with no feather. His hair is bound at the nape of his neck. His shirt and breeches fit nicely. White on top, black on bottom.
I've heard rumors of Caligan's dangerous deeds. He is said to be able to take on 20 men at once in battle. He's traveled every inch of the sea, fought off all manner of sea demons, including a shark, which he fought underwater with his bare hands. He makes deals with the devil and encourages evil in others.
So far, you're not wrong, I say.
He's even said to be the only man to survive an encounter with a siren.
I snort at that.
He even bedded her, Raiden continues. Used the creature's own tricks against her. Now it sounds to me like our dear king is, at best, a manipulator and a wild storyteller. Perhaps he's not as honest as his new laws demand.
He can hardly help what other people say about him.
And what would you say about him?
He's my father. What more needs to be said?
There are different kinds of fathers. Those who love unconditionally, those who love on condition, and those who never love at all. Which would you say he is?
For the first time, I feel Raiden touching at something I'd rather leave alone. I hardly see how this line of conversation is helpful to you.
You're deflecting the question. On condition, it must be. For if he never loved you, you wouldn't hold him in such high regard. So tell me, Alyssa, what sorts of things have you had to do to earn your father's love?
The usual. Cheat, steal, kill. I throw each response out offhandedly. I hope he doesn't detect the distress I feel.
He's turned you into something, trained you to become something no woman should ever have to be. You...
I am what I choose to be. You speak ignorantly. I think we're done talking. Raiden stands, comes close to the vase. Then, thinking better of it, he backs out of my reach.
I mean no insult, Alosa. Consider yourself lucky. It is better to have a little love than it is to have a father who never loved you at all.
I know Raiden speaks of himself now, but I'm still irritated. I feel as though I need to set him straight. Everything my father did, he did out of love. He made me strong. He made me something that could survive in his world. Doesn't matter what he did to get me here. I'm a fighter. The best. I don't need to block the memories. That's all they are. Memories. They can't hurt me. They're done. It doesn't matter that my father would have me fight boys older and stronger than me every day while I was growing up. Now I can beat them all. It doesn't matter that he shot me once to show me the pain of a gunshot wound, to have me practice fighting while injured. Because now I can do it. It doesn't matter that he would starve me and weaken me, then give me tasks to complete. He taught me endurance. Now I can handle anything. What about you, Raiden? I ask. What has gotten you to where you are? You claim to be the one to have killed your father, yet Draxon is captain of this ship. Was Draxon your father's favorite? Or was he simply the oldest? Either way, why would you let him take something you earned?
Raiden's face hardens. Draxon is older. And she was my father's favorite. Not that it matters now. You were right earlier. We should have stopped talking. I don't suppose you wish to tell me where your father's keep is now?
No.
He nods, unsurprised. The storm's coming, and we haven't quite reached our destination. Be prepared for a rough night.
I always am. I clear my mind rather than replay our conversation. I'm exhausted from being out so late, so I return to the floor and doze. It's not as though I have anything better to do. A loud ringing sound jolts me awake, sending my heart racing for the second time today. Someone kicked at the bars of my cell. When my eyes focus, I spot Draxon standing before me, hands at his belt, plumed hat upon his head. He watches me as though I'm some prize he's won, or some new tool he's received. I suppose he sees me as both, but I don't care. In the end, I will be the tool that ends his life. My father couldn't simply take the Nightfarer by force. The map could easily get ruined in the struggle should he gun the ship down. He had to send one person aboard to search it. But when this is all done, I will lead this ship straight to my father so he can kill them all. The Pirate King wants no competition when searching for the Isla Decanter.
How are you liking your accommodations, Alosa?
The floor's rough, and the cell stinks.
Fit for the Princess of Thieves and Murderers, don't you think?
Still could do with a bed.
You're welcome to ask one of my crews to share. I'm sure any of them would volunteer.
If I'm sleeping in anyone's bed, it'll be because I've killed him and taken his property as my own. Haven't you lost enough crew members, Draxon?
You're too sure of yourself. I think I should order Raiden to add some beatings into his sessions with you. Might do you both some good. Stars know he could use it.
Since I doubt I'll be able to finish my nap, I rise and take the chair, though I'm far past bored with the confrontation. Draxon has nothing interesting to say. He's hoping to see me squirm with fear. He's a man who feeds off of others' pain. So far none of his intimidations have worked.
I've granted Raiden permission to work on you. But should you continue to be uncooperative, I'll give someone with less charm a chance to question you. Keep that in mind while you sit down here.
Better hope he doesn't get soft on me. I'd hate to turn one of your own men against you.
Princess, Raiden's dealt with hundreds of women already in his life. He's never had trouble leaving one of them. You will be no different.
His boots echo through the empty room as he leaves. Jackson. Jason's a real piece of work. So is Raiden. They operate in different ways, but their goals are the same, which makes them both equally stupid. What morons would think to steal from the Pirate King? Especially without sufficiently checking their crew for spies. It was easy to arrange my kidnapping once Tharys provided all the information we would need. I'm surprised when Raiden comes to visit me again, this time carrying a bucket of water, a bar of soap, and a few clean rags. I was certain I had angered Raiden past the point of kindness. I almost feel bad for all the terrible things I've thought about him. Almost.
You have 10 minutes before I send the men back to watch over you.
I'll only need 9, I say, to be difficult. He shakes his head before leaving. The boat rocks a little higher at that moment. Storm's coming indeed. I've got a good pair of sea legs on me. I feel sturdier on the sea than I do on land. I'm used to her movements, her language. She'll tell you what she's going to do, if you listen. I'm clean and dressed in a fresh corset, this red one, when Kieran and Enwin return.
I'm telling you, it's bad luck to twist left. You should always thrust and turn right. Good luck, that is.
Enwin, if I'm stabbing a man in the heart, it doesn't matter if I twist the knife right or left. Either way, I've managed to kill the bastard. Why would I need any luck?
For the next man you kill. Suppose it causes you to miss the heart the next time.
Then you'll be wishing you took the extra time to twist right the time before. You can't kill a man good and proper if you miss the heart.
I am starting to think my next time is very soon.
Don't be like that, Kieran. You know I'm the only friend you've got on this ship.
Must be doing something wrong.
Kieran already had his flask out, but as he raises it to his head, he frowns. Empty. So he reaches into his pocket and pulls out another one. Now I understand the reason for all the pockets on the coat he wears. I would have suspected they were for a thief to put his finds. Nope, they're for holding multiple flasks of rum. I wonder how many he has in there.
How do you fare, Miss Elusa?
Anwin asks, turning toward me, unfazed by Kieran's words.
For star's sake, Anwin,
Kieran says.
The woman's a prisoner. How do you think she fares? Shut your trap for one blasted moment, would you?
The woman can answer her own questions, I say.
You shouldn't be talking either,
Kieran says.
Don't need no noise from the both of you.
Enwin rubs his temple.
Master Raiden only said I probably shouldn't speak to her, on account of beautiful women have a way of playing tricks on a man's mind. But it wasn't a direct order.
He said I was beautiful. I smirk at the thought. Enwin looks troubled.
Probably shouldn't have said that.
The ship rocks faster and faster as time goes on. Coming up on a storm is like getting into an argument. There are a few warning signs. Things heat up. But then there's a jump. The storm hits you before you're ready. And then you're too far in to do anything about it except get through it. Everything is loud. There's nothing to hear except the wind and waves. Nothing to feel except the bitter cold. I put on the heaviest coat I own to ward off the bitterness. Every once in a while, I think I catch a shout from above deck. But that could easily be an echo of the wind. I have to resort to sitting on the floor. My chair can't be trusted not to tip. Anwin sits as well. He pulls something out of his pocket, a string of beads. Maybe pearls. Kieran snorts. I know he must have some affliction of the sinuses, because I can hear him over the storm. He jerks awake suddenly.
Give that back.
Anwin must see the strange look I shoot Kieran. He explains.
He talks in his sleep a lot.
Kieran rubs his eyes.
This is a nasty one. My tip is over.
Anwin extends his pearls.
No, it won't. I've got our protection right here. I feel so reassured. You should. Storms are a dangerous time to be about. Some men say this is the time when the unpleasant sea folk come roaming out of their underwater domains.
You mean the sirens, I say.
Surely I do. They like to hide in the waves. You can't see them in the water when the sea is boiling and trembling and all, but they're down there, kicking and pounding at the boat, helping the storm take us under. They want us, want to eat our flesh, make necklaces out of our teeth, and hollow out our bones to make instruments to aid their song.
Bloody poetic, Kieran says, and a load of rubbish. Anyone ever tell you you can't be hurt by something you don't believe in?
Realization lights up Anwen's eyes. That's why everything is out to get me. I hide a smile behind one hand while Kieran tugs a flask out. Sirens have worked up quite the reputation throughout time. They are considered the deadliest creatures known to man. Storytellers and taverns share tales of women of extreme beauty who live in the sea, searching for ships to wreck, men to eat, and gold to steal. A siren's song can enchant a man to do anything. The creatures sing to sailors, promising them pleasure and wealth if they will jump into the sea. But those who do find neither. Once a siren has a hold upon you, she will not let go. She carries her sailor with her all the way to the bottom of the sea, where she has her way with him. Then she steals all of his valuables and leaves him to float in the abyss. There are many myths surrounding sirens. Most no one knows fact from fiction. But this part I do know. All the sirens throughout the centuries have carried their stolen treasures to an island, Isla Decanter. There can be found the wealth of history, treasures beyond imagination. This is what my father seeks. This is why I'm here. This is what I've been prepared for, stealing another piece of the map. Each of the three pieces was passed down from father to son for generations. One travelled down the Alamos line, eventually falling into Jeskawa's hands, possibly now Draxon's. Another down the Caligan line, now safeguarded by my father. And the last belongs to the Serad family. Vorden will be in possession of that one. With the three pieces united, the bearer will be able to find the legendary Isla Decanter. Island of Song, also called the Land of the Singing Women. There aren't any sirens out there, I say to Enwin. If there were, you'd already be enchanted to jump overboard. Do you hear any music?
No, because the storm's blocking it.
So the storm's a good thing?
Yes. No, I mean...
Enwin wrestles with that for a moment. Enwin and even Kieran seem too anxious to sleep tonight. Even a man who spent his whole life at sea has reason to fear her when she's angry. But not I. I sleep soundly, listening to her music. The sea watches over me. She protects her own. Chapter 5. The next few days and nights pass in much the same way. During the day, Raiden comes down to question me. We poke and prod at each other, trying to get answers. Rarely does anything come of it. He also brings me my meals, but aside from that, I'm always left alone in my cell, a couple of guards watching over me. The guards get switched out every so often, but Kieran and Enwin are by far the most entertaining. Unfortunately for Raiden, guards are not the deterrent I'm sure he was hoping for. Even they have to sleep. And once they do, I creep from my cell and poke my nose around the ship. Since the map didn't turn up in Draxon's quarters, I decide to start my search below decks, from stern to prow, and then make my way above. I chose this order because I assumed I would be starting with the easiest places to search and making my way toward the harder ones. But nothing proves to be quick or easy. When there's nigh 40 men below decks, sleeping, there's always at least one every hour who needs to piss in the night. No doubt due to heavy drinking before bed. I spend half my time ducking out of sight, squeezing between tight spaces, or holding absolutely still while they rush over to the ship's edge, and then return to their beds. My search is tedious and unfruitful, and each night I manage to finish only a small section of the ship. On my fifth night aboard the ship, Kieran is snoring loudly while Enwin counts gold coins out of a small purse. Have you been gambling? I ask.
No, Miss Eleusa, I don't like to gamble.
Then where does your money come from?
Can you keep a secret?
I look pointedly around my cell. Who would I tell? Enwin nods pensively.
I suppose you're right.
He looks down at the coins again.
Well, this one I got from Honis. This one from Isson. This one's from Airedale. This one's from...
You're stealing them? I smile.
Yes, miss. But only one from each man. If a man sees his whole purse gone, he'll know someone's taken it. But if he's only missing one coin...
He'll assume he's lost it, I say.
Yes, exactly.
That's brilliant, Enwin.
Thank you.
You're much smarter than you let on. Do you only pretend to be a superstitious fool so the crew will remain unsuspecting?
Oh, no. I'm as superstitious as you can get.
And the part about being a fool?
I may overdo that one just a bit.
I laugh lightly. This is the kind of man I would allow to be on my own ship, if he could manage to reserve his stealing for people who weren't his crew members. And what about Kieran? I ask. What's his story? Enwin looks over at his snoring companion.
Not much is known about Kieran. He doesn't talk about himself, but I've gathered quite a bit from his sleep-talking.
What have you learned?
Why do you ask?
Simple curiosity. And boredom.
Suppose it wouldn't hurt to tell you. Just don't tell Kieran I was the one who told you.
I promise. Enwin starts dropping his coins back into his purse.
Kieran has been all over the world. He knows the 17 Isles inside and out. He's met all kinds of people, performed all kinds of jobs and such. He was an adventurer.
So Kieran not only knows his way around the ocean, but on land as well. Unusual for a pirate. Our little isles are so close together that everyone travels between them. Each is rich with different food sources. Trade is frequent and necessary between the isles. As such, whoever controls the sea controls the money of the realm. Father tolerates the existence of a monarch over the land because he has no wish to rule over landlubbers. He prefers to keep company among the brutes of the sea. The Land King pays tribute to my father yearly in exchange for letting his explorers search through the sea for new lands. No one has ever managed such a total monopoly over sea travel until my father established his ruling. And some day all the control will be passed down to me, which is why I wish to prove myself again and again to my father. My current task is one on a large list of feats I've completed for him. I look over at Kieran's fat body, ugly face, and overall unkempt look. You certain he's not just adventuring in his sleep?
Oh, yes. He might not look like much now, but that's because he's turned into a man who has lost much. Imagine if you were never satisfied with your life, Miss Eleusa. Imagine that you travelled all over the world, looking for happiness, looking for thrills to pass the time. Imagine seeing everything there is to see and still not finding happiness. Well, that would give you a very bleak outlook on life, would it not?
I suppose it would.
There's not much to do after that. Kieran makes his living on this ship. He's an ugly drunk because it takes away the pain. He has no desire to live, yet no desire to die either. It's a tough spot to be in.
Yet you're his friend. Why?
Because everybody needs somebody. And I haven't lost hope for Kieran. I believe he will eventually come into his own, given the right amount of time and the right motivation.
I honestly doubt that, but I'm humouring him. Why do you assume he's lost much? I ask.
I hear him calling out a woman's name at night. Always the same woman. Perina.
Who is she?
No idea. And I don't intend to ask.
Enwin spreads out on the floor, ending the conversation. He's given me much to think about while I wait for him to sleep, before starting my nightly search. Everyone has something dark in their past. I suppose it's our job to overcome it, and if we can't overcome it, then all we can do is make the most of it.
Feel like a stretch?
Raiden stands in front of my cell, tossing the key up in the air and catching it. I've been aboard the Nightfarer for 6 days now. This is the first he's offered to let me out of my cell. Do you like flaunting my freedom out in front of me? I ask, eyeing the key.
You know, I get a strange sense of amusement from it.
Can't be too easy for you to feel amused when you know I can get out all on my own. Of course, I'm referring to the night he caught me sneaking out, and not all the nights I've snuck out since then. Raiden steps closer, dropping his voice.
I've been taking excellent care of the key ever since, and if I were you, I wouldn't mention that little mishap to anyone else. Captain would get an idea in his head if he knew, and you wouldn't like his ideas.
I tilt my head to the side. You mean you didn't tell him I tried to escape? Best to reinforce the notion. The more Raiden doesn't tell his captain, the more of a wedge I put between Draxon and the crew. Might be able to use that distance later. Who knows what else will happen while I'm a captive at sea? I add, perhaps you should get some ideas about what he would do to you if he knew.
Guess I'm counting on the fact that you'll be more worried about your own skin rather than harming mine. Now, I'm giving you a break from your cell. Do you want it or not?
I appreciate the gesture, but I can't say that I trust it. Where are we going?
We've come across a ship that appears to have been abandoned after the storm. The vessel is a little worse for wear, and we may find some salvageable goods on board. We're in the middle of the sea with nowhere for you to go should you try to escape. The captain has granted me permission to bring you aboard for the search.
I realize he could be telling me we're in the middle of nowhere, when in reality we're only a day from land. Impossible to tell. Though it doesn't matter either way. Still, I like knowing where I am. The uncertainty makes me a bit uneasy. I'm always up for some thieving, I say.
Somehow I knew you would be.
He lets me out. Then he pockets the key, this time putting it in his breeches rather than his shirt.
I'll be keeping a close watch over this, so don't get any ideas.
I've no idea what you're on about. He grabs my upper arm and leads me toward the stairs. Must you? I ask. You've already stated I've nowhere to go. Can't I have the freedom to walk without your aid? I can't help but add. Or can you simply not keep your hands off me? Enwin informed me you're helpless against my feminine charms. Raiden looks unworried.
If you've been talking to Enwin, lass, I'm sure you've learned that half of what he says is squid brain.
I smile and lean in his direction. Perhaps.
Quit your smiling and get your ass up those stairs.
I wouldn't dream of giving you such a view. Now it's his turn to smile mischievously.
You don't get the option to walk behind me. Don't trust you. Now, up with you.
On deck, men are tying down ropes, grabbing their weapons, scurrying about. Excitement for the upcoming adventure is almost tangible upon the air. I myself can feel the anticipation of the hunt. I am not immune to the prospect of some good fun. No pirate is. It's why we choose this life. Because we're good at it. And we have no morals.
Ah, Her Highness has decided to honor us with her presence,
Draxon says.
What do you say, gents? Should we have the lady go first?
A few eyes and a good deal of laughter are their responses. I look around the crowd of men and spot Theros blending in with the rest of them. He glances at me, but doesn't spare me any special attention. He's good at his job, that one. Raiden says nothing from beside me. He doesn't look bothered either way. Not that he should. He is not here to look after me, and I don't need him to. He's here to make sure I don't escape. Which he might be doing too good a job of at times. Not to fear. I've still got a few tricks up my sleeve. If your men are too cowardly to venture over by themselves, I say, then by all means, I'd be happy to teach them how to properly secure a ship. A challenge and an insult all wrapped into one. My specialty.
I'd rather risk your life than theirs. Be off with you. Raiden, go with her.
I think it's strange that Draxon would risk me when he knows he needs me as leverage. I suspect he's trying to make up for what happened back on my ship. He placed teaching me a lesson over the lives of his own men. Now he's showing that he's putting me at risk before them. It's a clever play, especially since it's very unlikely that anyone would still be over at the ship. And, as a last precaution, he's sending Raiden over with me. We secure the gangplank between the two ships. The damaged ship for us appears to be a cargo vessel. There's bound to be lots of food and water aboard. It's its own kind of treasure out here. The gangplank is plenty big to walk across without having to try to balance. I could probably do it with my eyes closed. Still, its width is small enough that I'm tempted to give Raiden a slight push. As if sensing this, he says,
"Don't even think about it."
I already did.
I could have you shot.
Your gun would have a hard time working once it's wet.
I didn't say I had to be the one to shoot.
But let's face it, you'd like that pleasure for yourself. He smiles. The ship's mainmast has broken clean off. It lies at an angle on the ship, supported by the railing on the starboard side. That'll lock the ship in place for sure. All the rowboats are missing from the ship, which leads me to wonder how far from land we could be. The ship still floats. It would hold the men steady for as long as their food and supplies lasted. So why row away if there's nowhere to make it to in time? The deck is one scattered mess. Ropes lie haphazardly, some in knots, some in coils. Articles of clothing sit here and there, likely having fallen out of their owners' bags in the confusion. The wood's still wet. Everything's wet. We have to be extra alert not to trip or slip.
Anything valuable will likely be below decks,
Raiden says.
I know.
So what are you waiting for?
I raise an eyebrow. You're going to make me go first.
Can't risk you trying to jump me from behind.
But I don't have a weapon.
That hasn't stopped you before.
I can't help but smile. I meant, how can you expect me to go below first without a weapon?
I'll be right behind you.
That's not the comfort you think it is.
I know.
His brown eyes are alight with merriment. I think he enjoys our little spats. I think of them as part of my act. I'm playing a part. If I keep too much of myself hidden, he might be suspicious that I'm planning something. So I give him the resistance he expects. The enjoyment I get out of toying with him is an added bonus. I could have been stuck with a worse questioner. Why he's not captaining the Nightfarer, I'll never know.
Go now, Elosa, he says.
Water drips from everywhere, it seems. Today is the first day after the night of the storm that the rains let up. It's dark below, further suggesting that no one's below decks. Raiden, ever prepared, brought a lantern over with us. He lights it, and he hands it to me.
Lead on.
We find the kitchens, where dried meats, well-stored water, crackers, pickled vegetables, and other seaworthy foods are safely secured in their cupboards. These will all be taken over to the Nightfarer, no doubt. We pass through the sleeping quarters. Some blankets remain. The smell is much better here than back on the Nightfarer. Why couldn't Traxon's men show more aptitude for personal hygiene? Truly, it benefits everyone on board. We're about to pass into the next room when the candlelight captures something on the floor. That would be a sword. Good to know it's there. If only I could grab it without Raiden noticing, but that's all but impossible. A sword would be much harder to hide than a dagger. There is nothing else of interest on the ship. At least not anything that's visible right now. There may be yet some nooks and crannies that remain hidden. But it's also just as likely that the crew members took anything valuable with them. It's been my experience that when a crisis strikes, the first thing that men think about are all the treasure they can take with them. Thoughts of their friends and shipmates usually come second, if at all.
"Looks all clear," Raiden says. "I'll start looking deeper. Kindly go and hail the rest of the crew over."
Oh, yes, I'll just go hail the crew over. Truly, I enjoy helping the men who've kidnapped me.
Can't leave you down here by yourself while I go fetch them. Would you rather I hauled you all the way back up to the deck with me? I know how much you like it when I have my hands on you.
I huff and head up the stairs. He's difficult to figure out, that one. One instant he seems to try to distance himself from me. The next, I swear he fancies me. He's probably keeping me on my toes, just as I try to do to him. The game of predator and prey can be a fun one. When you're the predator, of course. It's fun to rub the victory into your prisoner's face. You beat them. You captured them. It's your right. Father said once that if you can catch and imprison a man, then his life is yours to take or do with as you please. His philosophy is that if you have the power to do something, then you should do it. Once on deck, I wave at the pirates, signaling that everything is all clear. With nothing else to do, I return below decks. Might as well continue to walk and stretch before I get shut into my cell again. Not that I don't intend to spend tonight moving about anyway. They're on their way, I say as I enter the room Raiden and I last checked, a storage room. That's when they grab me. Raiden's shoved face first against the wall, a sword point pressed against the middle of his back, while the bearer's free hand pushes against his shoulder. I can see now that a few panels have been removed from the wall straight ahead. A hidden room. Three men stand in the room with Raiden and me. One keeping Raiden where he is, and now two holding me. Blast it, I say. You couldn't have shouted out a warning?
When a sword's pointed at me? Raiden asks. I think not.
Shut up, one of the men holding me yells.
How many are in your crew? How many will come?
60, Raiden says, exaggerating the number by 20.
Stars,
the man holding Raiden at sword point says.
We can't hold them off.
And we can't count on the others returning in time.
Then we'll use them as hostages,
the last man says.
We'll tell them we'll kill the members of their crew unless they stay back. We can buy time.
But will it be enough?
It'll have to work.
But do we need them both? The man looks like too much trouble to deal with. I say we go him and deal with the girl. Being underestimated always works to my advantage. But sometimes I find it offensive. That often makes me violent. It makes me question whether I should allow them to kill Raiden, just so I can beat the hell out of all three of them without Raiden watching. I couldn't let him see what I'm capable of doing to them. I hate that I have to hold back now. The men continue to argue among themselves as I decide what to do. Raiden interrupts my line of thinking.
Now, Alosa, would be a good time for you to employ the same tactic you demonstrated when we first met.
Are you certain you wouldn't like to handle this one yourself? I'm just the girl.
Stop talking,
a sailor shouts. But I'm not really listening to them. My eyes are on Raiden. His eyes widen meaningfully, frustratingly. Then he relaxes.
Please.
I said... Perhaps it's the fact that Raiden remembered exactly what I did to those two crew members when they stole me from my ship. Or perhaps it's that I like the sport of it. Or it's the idea of showing these sailors exactly what I can do. But if I'm being honest, it's because he said please. This prompts me into action in a way I can't explain. I slam my heel into the foot of the sailor on my right. Then my free hand goes to the other sailor's throat. I place one hand at the back of each man's neck. With one choking and the other stumbling, it isn't difficult to connect their heads. Hard. That wasn't part of my routine back on the ship, but a little improvisation goes a long way. This situation is a bit more dire. For one, it isn't one I had planned for. There's only the man with the sword left. He stays right where he is, though his eyes have widened significantly.
Stay where you are, or I'll kill him.
I roll my eyes. Go right ahead. You'd save me the trouble. I'm not sure whether I should laugh or not at his confusion.
What?
I'm being held prisoner by pirates. If you say more of your men are coming, then you can help me. We can use him as leverage, as was suggested before. He looks to his fallen shipmates. Sorry about that. I don't like being held against my will. Now please, say you'll help me. The sailor focuses on Raiden, which gives me the distraction I need to reach for my boot.
Is what the girl says true?
Trust me, The girl's more trouble than she's worth, and you can't believe a thing she says. You'd be better off killing her now.
I see sweat drip down the sailor's face. The hand on his sword trembles.
That's enough.
He turns his body toward me while keeping his sword on Raiden. The dagger flies straight and true, finding its place in the sailor's chest. Thank the stars I still had it on me. The dagger hidden in book trick is one I will never take lightly should I ever need to intentionally get kidnapped again. And it was a wonder Raiden hadn't checked me for weapons when he found me sneaking about the ship that night. Raiden stands up straight. His mouth is slightly ajar, his eyes wide. You thought I'd really turned on you. Probably should have, but oh well. Too late for that now. I walk over to where Raiden stands when others enter the storage room.
What happened here?
Draxon asks. He looks neither worried nor upset by the bodies on the floor. I wait for Raiden to sell me out to save his own skin. He could easily tell Draxon that I left him to die, telling the pirates to come aboard when an ambush was in place. It would be a little far-fetched, considering there were only 3 men on board, but still plausible.
It was my oversight, Raiden says. I thought the ship was clear. I told the lass to go above and bring you over. Then they came out of a hidden room. I handled them.
Excuse me, I say. He is not taking credit for my kills. Not that I need Draxon to know I'm capable. In fact, it's probably best that Draxon thinks I'm not. Raiden ignores my outburst.
I think you'll be pleased with what else awaits in the hidden room.
That distracts me. I look over Raiden's shoulder and see 3 chests filled with coins. There could easily be more behind other panels. Draxon's eyes are on fire as he stares. He alone advances, taking stock of it all.
They're smugglers,
Raiden continues.
Looks like they've just delivered their cargo, whatever it may be. I suspect that after the storm, most of the crew left to go get a new ship and return here. They weren't about to leave all this wealth behind. These men were left here to guard it. I probably wouldn't have found them if I hadn't heard one of them moving through the wall. Yes, yes, Draxon says.
I doubt he heard a word Raiden said. He's still staring into the wall.
Take the girl back over. The men and I will handle this. We need to be quick before the rest of their crew returns.
Almost as an afterthought, he adds.
Well done, brother.
Raiden nods. And just like that, it's back to the brig I go. Raiden opens my cell and thrusts me inside. What are you doing? I ask.
Following orders.
I thought we were past you hauling me around. Haven't we established that I can walk on my own? Raiden stands at the opening of my cell. He hasn't shut me in yet, but he's not looking at me. He's looking at the ground.
Why did you do it?
Do what?
You saved me.
Yes, and you took credit for it. What kind of thanks is that? That was damned insulting. I ought to...
That was for your benefit.
I'm too full of energy to sit. I usually am after a fight. Should I not exhaust myself to the point of passing out? Father did have me do that on several occasions, so I would know what it feels like to be worn thin, so I could be mindful of my own strength. It's important to know how much energy I have, in case running becomes the better option. But so far no one except my father has been able to wear me out to the point of losing consciousness. Just how exactly was that for my benefit?
Raiden grows very serious. I don't know what you're doing. I do know you had an opportunity to escape from us back there, and you didn't take it. And you stopped them from killing me when you had no reason to. Now that leaves me with 2 notions. Either you're not so despicable and heartless as your prior actions would suggest, or you have some sort of ulterior motive for keeping me alive and staying on the ship.
I'm still not seeing how you claiming my skills is a kindness to me. Raiden thinks I'm up to something, eh? Guess I will have to up my act. I need to rid him of the idea.
You don't know my brother, so allow me to explain something to you. If he thinks you're up to something, he'll kill you. Now I owe you my life, so consider my silence part of my repayment.
There's nothing to be kept quiet. You're overlooking a 3rd option, Raiden.
And what's that?
I was looking out for myself. There was no guarantee I could trust those men. If they found out who I was, they could try to use me for leverage just as you do, especially if they're smugglers, as we suspect. Then if something were to happen to you, Drexen would have someone else question me. And there's a good chance I'd hate him more than I do you. Raiden watches me. No amusement, no gratitude, no anything. What is he thinking? Finally, he says,
I suppose I didn't think of that. Of course I should have considered that your only concern was for yourself.
I'm a pirate, I remind him.
Yes, I just can't figure out if you're a good pirate or a really good pirate.
I'm not sure I know what that means.
Just know that whatever it is that you're hiding from me, I will figure it out.
Clinking metal beats a steady rhythm. Not that of swords, but of chains. I know the sound well, as I've spent much time practicing how to get out of them. At the sound, Raiden goes ahead and locks me into the cell. Did he decide that our conversation was over, or does he not want Drexen to see him talking to me through an open door? Drexen and two pirates, one who I've never seen before, and the third pirate who helped bring my things down with Enwin and Kieran, lead two of the smugglers, who are clad in manacles, down the stairs. The conch to the head I gave them must not have been enough to kill them. 'Tis a shame for them, because death likely would have been better than whatever the pirates could have in store. I may also be a prisoner, but they need me alive and in good health if they expect a ransom from my father. These two smugglers, however, do not need to be traded, nor do they need information from them, because the gold has already been found. The fact that they were brought on board alive, then, spells disaster for them.
What is this?
Raiden asks.
Algan's getting a bit restless,
Drexen says.
I thought he could use this.
Raiden nods, though he doesn't look happy about what he knows will happen next. Yet he opens a new cell far away from mine. The pirate, I assume as Algan, leads the smugglers inside.
And I came down to collect you,
the captain continues.
What with our fortunate find and all, I figure the men could use a payday on land. There's lots of gold to be spent. I want you to oversee the distribution of each man's share. We should be upon the shore by nightfall.
I knew we were close to land, despite everyone's misleading. The smugglers, who left their shipmates aboard their broken ship, would have had to take the time to find a new ship, and then find where their old one had drifted off to. It's no wonder they haven't come back to it yet. And rather fortunate for Drexen and his crew that they happened to stumble across it.
What are we to do with the princess? Nothing at all. That's why I brought Shek down here. He'll be guarding her until we reach land. Is that really such a good... I think she's been having too good a time of it, Raiden. It's time we remind her who we are. Don't know why you chose Kieran and Enwin of all the crew to primarily oversee her. If they didn't have their particular talents, I would have tossed them overboard long ago. Almost bloody useless.
Raiden looks like he wants to argue. Very badly. But he doesn't.
Let's see to the gold, then, he says instead.
For the first time, I turn my attention to Shek, and nearly jump away. He's pressed up to the bars, staring hungrily at me. I feel as though rats crawl across my skin. Actually, I think I would prefer it if rats were crawling against my skin. When I was little, and faced with a new challenge each day, I would look to my father for help. He would instruct me, and then send me into a fire pit, figuratively speaking. I always got burned, and I learned quickly that turning to him for help was useless. He never assisted. I either succeeded or suffered the consequences of failing. There was no relief. Long afterward, I might be given some advice and encouragement, sometimes even comfort. But in the moment, there was no aid. It wasn't long before I learned to stop turning to others for help. It's never an option, so I don't even think about it. Which is why, when I am faced with the hot-blooded pirate, my first response is not to look to Raiden, or to ask Drexen to have someone else guard me. No, I handle my problems alone, because that is the way things are.
There isn't a problem, is there, Elosa?
Drexen asks. His sneer is full of poison. I say,
I've never had a problem I couldn't handle myself. Chapter 6. Though my time spent with Shek and Olgin was only a few hours, it felt like much, much longer. It started with Shek walking back and forth in front of my cell, never taking his eyes off me. Occasionally, he would reach through the bars, as if he could grab me. He was trying to get a response from me, to see me afraid. I never gave him the satisfaction. I stayed to the far end of the cell the whole time. Though I was tired and could have used a rest before I sneak out of my cell tonight, I didn't nap. I couldn't risk rolling over in my sleep, coming within reach of Shek's searching hands. But that was not all that prevented me from sleeping. There was also the screaming. Olgin, like Shek, is not a complicated pirate to figure out. Each pirate has their vice. For some, it is drinking. For others, it's gambling. For those like Shek, it is deriving forced pleasure from a struggling woman. But Olgin? His is seeing pain in others. So I sat, facing away, while Olgin tortured those smugglers to death. Jackson keeps vile men in his company, but I am neither surprised nor terribly bothered by it. My father has much worse men at his disposal. Some of them I know enjoy the taste of human flesh right off a living body. I have no such creatures within my own crew. I value other traits above an affinity for torture and power over those weaker than oneself. I value brilliant minds, honest souls, and those with long endurance. I forge relationships based on trust and mutual respect, not fear and control. Empathy for human life is something my father tried to beat out of me. He thinks he succeeded. Most people do. And while I can kill evil men without guilt, the suffering of others pains me as well as it does them. It hurts, but I can handle it. Bad things happen to people who may not be deserving of such punishment. The world continues on. I continue on. Because if nothing else, I'm a survivor. So it is with relief that I look upon the dead smugglers. Their pain is gone at last. Shortly after, Raiden comes below with two pirates I haven't met.
You're relieved, Shek. Go ashore with everyone else. You may too, Olgin, once you've cleaned this up.
Raiden's posture is stiff, and he looks at Shek with such disgust, I'm surprised his tone doesn't reflect his feelings. Shek hasn't said a word during the whole time he's been down here. I wonder if he can talk at all. He looks me up and down one last time, as if memorizing every part of me. Then he races out of sight. Raiden turns to me next, his face blank now.
This is Azek and Jolik. They will be watching over you while I go ashore as well.
Raiden steps right up to the bars, trying to get out of earshot of everyone else.
I know to expect some sort of attempt at fleeing from you, what with us being so close to shore and all. So let me save you the trouble. There are 5 men guarding the ship above deck. They know to watch out for you.
There's a slithering sound. Raiden and I turn to see Olgin dragging a sheet topped with the bodies of the smugglers out of the brig. Raiden looks at me then, and it might be the poor lighting, but I swear his eyes are wetter than usual. He is not anywhere close to tears, but he might be feeling something.
I'm sorry,
he whispers. And then he's gone. He's apologizing as though Shek and Olgin are somehow his fault. Or maybe he's apologetic for some other reason. I never know with Raiden. Sometimes it feels like he's trying to help me. Other times he's obviously doing the complete opposite. He subjected me to Shek and Olgin, yet he never ordered me to give him my dagger. I know he saw me take it off the dead smuggler back on the ship. Did it slip his mind? Or did he want me to have it while I was below decks with those two? Either way, I still don't know what to make of Raiden. Doesn't matter at the moment, anyhow. I have a more pressing problem. Raiden assumes I will try to escape this ship in some way. He already suspects me of being up to something, of being more than just a prisoner on this ship. He knows I'm hiding something. Which means, if I'm to keep up appearances, I'll have to escape the ship, then get caught on purpose. Oh, the ridiculous things one has to do when one is a pirate. The two pirates ordered to guard me sit in front of my cell.